morning, we want to lift up the name of Jesus. That's the most important thing that we can do this morning. This morning, I've chosen to speak about the Christian and his relationships. And to those of you home folks who heard a lot of this material a couple weeks ago, I apologize. I didn't ask you if you like leftovers. But the good news this morning is that my words may seem a little bit like leftovers, but the Word of God is never leftovers. It's new every morning, every day. There's so much life, and there's so much hope. I believe that in the second standing, there's going to be a couple of songs that speak to the issue of relationships. In fact, I guess I had a kind of a request for this message, is why I'm sharing it again. And as I thought about this, I have so much to learn about building relationships as a Christian. We all do, I dare say. But the question comes, why are relationships important? Why speak about that subject? And as I thought about that, I decided people are important. People are so important. And as we think about in the context of the church, although I'd like to speak about principles that apply to all relationships, but in the context of the church, the Bible says in 1 John 3:14, "We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." I think our love for each other needs to be visible in our relationships with our church family. And then extending beyond that, it needs to be something that's very visible to those we meet. This verse is actually the testimony of a friend of mine who recently confessed hidden sins and got his life right with the Lord. And this is what he said. He said this verse is very real to him. He loves everyone, no matter what they've done or said. It just blessed me so much to hear him express that. Something has changed. I love people. Isn't that what a relationship with Jesus does for us? This morning, there's two verses that kind of prompted my thoughts on this subject. We're in Romans right now in our Sunday school at home. And as I read Romans 15 one morning, there were two different verses that, I don't know, just leapt off the page at me. The first verse is Romans 15, verse 3. It says, "For even Christ pleased not himself, but, as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." The beginning of that verse, "For even Christ pleased not himself," stood out to me in a way that I don't remember ever experiencing before. This morning, they've already sung about the story of Jesus. And I'd like to think about Jesus this morning as the exemplar for what it takes to make relationships work. As we think about Jesus, the Son of God, he came down to this earth, as we've already heard, in such a lowly way. If there was anyone who ever had the right, we would think, to please himself, it was the Son of God. But he didn't. And I struggle to express this morning the thoughts that come to me as I think of that phrase, for even Christ pleased not himself. I think herein lies the key to having good relationships, to building relationships, to being able to help others in our relationships. You see, it speaks to something that I want to touch on first this morning. Why do we sometimes struggle with relationships? And I mentioned this at home. Let's think about little babies for a minute. We've had several born at home recently, and they're so much fun. They're such wonderful little bundles of joy. And we just love to have them. We love to carry them and take care of them, talk to them. You know, there's something that we soon discover with little babies. I was this way when I was born, and so were you. They come with a default setting of selfishness. And it doesn't take very long for that to be known. It's all about me, me, me. I need to be fed. I need to be dry. If I'm not feeling good, I'll just holler until somebody hopefully fixes whatever's going wrong. And I wish I could tell you this morning that after about 30 years as a Christian, that's all long gone. That's past history for me. You know, that nature that I was born with, I still have to deal with. Isn't it true this morning that any difficulty, any problems that we have in a relationship with another person is caused by selfishness? Either my selfishness or yours. Now, we know how that works. I'm surrounded by so many selfish people. It's just like it was when I was a baby. If only everybody else would see things my way and jump to my tune, then things would go well. Well, we all deal with it. But this verse, as I looked at and I thought about the Son of God and how he came to this earth, we know the only reason he was here on this earth is because it was all about his love for us. He He did just the opposite of pleasing himself in every way when he walked this earth. And so we have the perfect example to follow in that. I'd like for us to just let that verse ring through our ears and run through our minds as we think about this subject. Even Christ pleased not himself. I think this is why Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 16, verse 24, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So much of my working with other people depends on whether I'm willing to deny myself. And this morning, I don't have an exhaustive list of principles for developing good relationships, but I have a few that I thought of as I thought about this subject. I would just like to look at a few. This brings me to the second verse that stood out to me in Romans 15. As I read down a little further, and that is verse 7. He says, "Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." That's a big assignment. Receive one another as Christ received us. Christ died for us before we received him. He died for us when we were undeserving. We still are. But here is the pattern, and here is the template that works in all human relationships. Receive ye one another as Christ received us. There's a very familiar verse that I think covers so much in relationships. And I would like to think of number one, I'll just give this, the fact that respect begets respect. Matthew 7:12 says, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." The golden rule. We teach it to our children. And then sometimes we forget to exercise that in our relationships as grown-ups. Respect begets respect. As I thought of this, I thought about a teacher I had in the eighth grade. And this was a first-year teacher, a very young man. I think he was 20 years old. There's something about that man that always impressed me. As I think about this respect issue, he had, I'm not sure, we were trying to count up this morning, I would say at least 10 boys and several girls in the 6th, 7th, and 8th grades. He came to our community. Actually, myself and my brother, we would have known him a little bit, but most of the students wouldn't have known this fellow at all. And like I said, he had 10 very well-behaved boys in his class. No, actually, I didn't say that. He had a good variety, a good mix of personalities, and they weren't, I should say, we weren't all little angels. I would say it would have been a recipe for having a good bit of struggle for a first-year teacher. And You know, he could have come there and looked over this crew and said, okay, I've got a few ne'er-do-wells that need to be kicked into shape, kicked into line. And he could have gone on and set his rules and set the way he related to us in that way. But he didn't. I still don't understand exactly what he did. But this man, he wasn't just a loose teacher, no rules. You can just do as you please. He was very firm. But in just a short period of time, as I remember, he had the respect of everyone. Even the rowdies. And I've also often wondered about that. Just what was it that he did? But you know, I think that he treated his students with respect. And by the way, this is not about teachers only. This is just an illustration. I don't know anything about your teachers here. I know we have a really good team at home. But as I thought of that, I think there's something that's very important, especially for anyone in a leadership position, and that is respect is so important. Whether you're a school teacher, a dad in the home, a church leader, you fill in the blanks wherever you find yourself this morning. But I think it's so important for us to model that state of being that comes from knowing Jesus and recognizing how that he received me. I was undeserving, and yet he was there offering to me his salvation. He looked at me as somebody of worth. I could tell you a story, I won't, about the other side of that. A teacher I knew about years and years ago, not my teacher, but I know the story well, who operated a lot in just the opposite way. And I'm sure that he probably regrets that now, but and it generated just the opposite feelings in his students. And so this morning, I'd like to leave that as a very important point with us. I cannot build relationships with other people when they feel like I don't respect them as a person and as somebody who matters, somebody who's important. Another thing I'd like to look at this morning is, as we think of the ideas, opinions, and struggles of others, and as we think of Jesus' way, I think we need to recognize and validate and care about the ideas, opinions, and struggles of others. I think that when we look at Jesus and his example, it's something that we will do. You know, the opposite of that, when I'm operating just in my own selfish sphere, I will quickly discount, or dismiss the ideas, opinions and struggles of others. Excuse me. And our struggles aren't all the same. Our ideas aren't all the same. And you know how it works. My struggles look perfectly legitimate to me. I can't see why anyone should think that I'm a little bit different. But sometimes when I'm looking at other people and they're experiencing struggles that I've never experienced, I tend to dismiss them rather quickly instead of thinking about them and realizing that I've just simply been blessed to not have that struggle. So I think this morning the way of Christ will teach us how to recognize those things and to validate people, to care about what's happening in their lives. And it will be a great help to us as we develop relationships. Another thing I thought about is the art of listening. And I read the quote somewhere that many times people are not listening. They're just waiting for their turn to talk. Unfortunately, I'm afraid I fall in that category too many times. There's a verse that speaks to that, I believe, and that's Proverbs 18, verse 15. It says, "The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge." If I'm going to get to know the people that I'm dealing with, whether it's in the church, in my family, outside my family, somebody I meet on the street, if I'm going to be a real listener, a person who, when I meet someone, they can know and understand that I'm interested in them and in what they have to say, I'm going to have an ear that's seeking knowledge. It's not going to be about me and about my things, the things I'm interested in my life. But I'm going to have an ear who's listening and trying to learn and understand what it is that makes this person tick, as we say. And I know that this varies. Some of you don't have near the struggle doing that I do. That's probably one of the blessings of being a quiet person. You tend to do that more, and you tend to hear other people instead of talking about your own things. Excuse me. But I'd like to leave that challenge with us. Can we hear? Can we try to understand? Can we take the time to listen to other people's lives and their problems, their joys, whatever it might be? I'd like to just leave a few thoughts with you in closing. At the end of our lives, what will have mattered most? Will it be money? Will it be position? Power that I've been able to accumulate? Fame? Will it be possessions? All those things that I try to gain and to pile up. Will it be pleasure? Is that going to be what mattered most? That I was able to get my full share of pleasure? Or will it be people? Will it be people who mattered? Will it be people with never dying souls? People that we lived with, people that we passed on the street, people that matter because they have a soul. I don't think at the end of life that we'll have regrets about any of these other things. But I think that it will be very clear to us what I did in developing relationships with people and in pointing them to Christ and trying to exemplify Christ in the way I related to them. That is going to be what mattered. I'd like to leave that challenge with us today. Again, going back to Romans 15, verse 7. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. And isn't that what we're here for today? And what he put us on this earth for? To bring glory to him? We have such a short time to do that. Let's be faithful in pointing men to Christ. Let's stand for a word of prayer.